I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we take a look back on a big night of European action. Rangers strike with almost the last kick of the ball to bring a 1-1 draw back ahead of the second leg against Dynamo Kiev. St Mirren and Kilmarnock are gearing up for their European qualifiers tomorrow, and the Scottish FA appoint former English Premier League ref John Moss as the country's new VAR manager. The applications from Cammy Bell and Jim Duffy must have got chucked in the bin, but they're here this evening. What a start to the season, Jim. Busy as ever, big games left, right and centre.
Yeah, obviously the domestic campaign, started last weekend, and you know, I know you've discussed over the last couple of nights, you know, and very impressive from Celtic. St Mirren, a fantastic performance against Hibs. European results were a little bit mixed, of course, with Kilmarnock and St Mirren having varying degrees of success. But last night, I thought, was a terrific performance and a great result from Rangers. And all credit to Cyril Dessers. I mean, so many times on this programme, he's been the guy that takes a fair bit of criticism. But he's there once again. You know, he kept his concentration, brilliant ball-in from Cherney, and a great finish. And it's the perfect time to score a goal away from home. So, yeah, gives Rangers a fantastic opportunity now to progress to the next round.
Yeah, listen, a brilliant, brilliant result for Rangers, especially the way they started the game. I felt as if the first half, they weren't really at it. He changed it at half-time, Clement, so full credit to him. Recognised that left-hand side was a problem. And as Jim says, huge credit to Cyril Dessers. And I was listening to the programme last night, Gordon, and he was getting a bit of stick before the game started. A lot of fans weren't convinced by the lineup, but listen, they would have took that result after the game anyways.
0141 951 1025. What did you make of it? A nice, easy, general, open question for you Rangers fans. Clearly it's a good result. It's one that you're, you know, very much in the tie coming back to Glasgow. Almost said, yeah, Ibrox, yeah, back to Glasgow. But overall, let's go through the game. What was good about it? What was bad? Did anything please you? Anything disappoint you? Any surprises in there? There was so much, as Cammy says, the criticism of that starting 11 before the game kicked off on this show last night was quite something. Did any of you feel that that was not justified looking at things, or is there still work to do? You tell me. How did you view all aspects of last night's game? 0141 951 1025. It's clearly not job done, and we might be having a good moan again next week if it doesn't go to plan, but the tie very much in the balance. So what did you make of it? The good stuff, the bad stuff, the bits in the middle. You can pick out individuals who were good or you think let you down, things that you saw that maybe you want to see carry on going forward, whatever it is. 0141 951 1025. We referenced it last night. You Celtic fans will be happy not to go through the emotional turmoil of Champions League qualifiers. I'm sure your mind is mostly at the moment on the transfer market. Who's coming in? Who's going out? What is the squad going to shape up like after a very good start to the domestic season? So again, same number to you. Kelly fans, St Mirren fans, how are you feeling ahead of your qualifiers tomorrow? Bit of a personnel blow. I think Mark O'Hara struggling for St Mirren. Any thoughts ahead of those ones? We will take them. And if you are right into your VAR, as I'm sure many of you are, John Moss, you'll know the name, English Premier League referee. He is the new VAR manager, so he'll work with Willie Collum and the rest of the folks at the Scottish FA trying to drive up standards. So any thoughts on any of the above, or if you think we've missed something, put us right, put us in our place. 0141 951 1025. Let's get stuck straight in with William, who's a Rangers fan. How do you look back on last night, William?
Hello, Gordon, Jim and Cammy.
Hello.
Hey, William.
How are you, Will?
Yeah, right, Gordon, if you give me time, I'll try and get through this as quick as I can, right, mate? first of all, to my fellow Rangers fans, the two in particular last night, right, the one that was going to give away his season book, I'll take his book if he doesn't want it. And Archie Partick, the Tavernier hater, he's never got anything good to say about Rangers. What I'm going to say about Rangers, Rangers are the best team in Scotland in European competition since Gerrard arrived, right? The reason all these teams are getting their free rides, their free games, they're qualifying, they don't need to do all this, it's because of Rangers. Nobody else. We've carried Rangers in Europe on my back, you know what I mean? The team across the road were their millions and millions. We've been in two European finals since 2008. You know what I mean? Everybody should just get on our Rangers' back and just support them in Europe. So to say we've no chance last night is an absolute disgrace. I thought in the end of the game, Rangers should have won the game. The Ukrainians were definitely flagging. That's my first flag, Gordon.
I think in fairness, right, the Rangers fans were entitled to feel however they wanted about the, you know, the summer and then the game at the weekend. And I mean, obviously for accuracy, you'll expect me to point out that clearly it's not only Rangers that have accrued coefficient points, but you're right, they've been very, very good in Europe since Steven Gerrard arrived. But what Steven Gerrard's team did against Porto, or what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's side did against RB Leipzig, that didn't really have any bearing on last night. It's hardly the same team, there were hardly any players there. So you can understand why fans were a bit sceptical going into last night. You are more than entitled now to say, I told you so, I told you it would be all right, because we've seen the game and we know how it went. But I don't know why what Steven Gerrard did would impact how Rangers fans felt at 5-7 last night.
Are you at my back on, Gordon?
You are.
Are you kidding me on?
Not particularly.
We've been consistent in Europe since Gerrard arrived. Forget Porto and Leipzig. I can think we have a raft of teams that we have beaten and competed with in Europe. What are you talking about?
With due respect, I think you're probably missing my point. It's not that I'm taking it away. They were great games. What I'm saying is, Rangers fans at the moment are more interested in
what's happening now.
Yeah, the way the squad looks, the way the game was at the weekend. Why would the results that Steven Gerrard's Rangers team got, an entirely different Rangers team currently, why would that impact their mood on how last night was going to go before the game? That's what I'm asking you.
Well, Gordon, you listen to the Ukrainian manager. He said Rangers are built on their history in Europe and what they've been doing the last few years. They've been quoting the results. He's been saying that Rangers have been great in Europe since a certain period. So it's just not me saying it, it's fellow managers. You see what I mean? You see what I'm trying to grasp, Gordon? What I'm saying is Rangers have been consistent. Even though they didn't have the greatest team last night, they still performed well. They still the tradition in Europe. They still played well in Europe. That's my point.
No, I think that, Rangers seem to be suited better to play William in Europe. You're right, for one reason or another. Maybe it's teams that come towards them, don't sit, you know, and as we call it now, in low blocks and all these sort of things, which I think, at times, the tempo of the game, and also perhaps not being always the favourite to go in, obviously, other than the Celtic game. But certainly, when they're getting 99 times out of 100, the Rangers are favourites, and maybe that degree of responsibility puts a bit of extra pressure on the players, and that maybe comes off them a little bit into Europe, so they maybe get into Europe a wee bit more freedom. Tactically as well, it's a different approach to the games. They can sit in a little bit and look to play in a slightly different way. So there's a number of reasons why Rangers have been a bit more consistent. I do agree from that point of view, but I think that what the Rangers fans have been calling on the programme are on about is, has there been a constant or a steady progress, you know, as in from a team, not just in Europe, domestically? And that's the frustration, because you go from one level of performance to another level of performance, particularly in domestically, and that gulf has to be, you know, reduced so that the level of performance remains higher so that they can compete for the title. Because ultimately, that's what Rangers fans want to see, that a Rangers team been able to compete from day one to the last day against their biggest rivals for the title. And that's not happened, as you said, since the Gerrard era.
I think where William's right, Cammy, is that is the result last night is against a backdrop of a lot of people who were writing Rangers off, basically. Yep. Mostly Rangers fans, by the way. I don't think it was necessarily from outside. So did that make the outcome even more satisfying or impressive? I mean, William's tone is more, well, I always thought they could do that anyway, but lots of people didn't.
I think William's tone's probably off the back of, as Jim said, the European success they've had recently, so there's not a lot of reason to doubt Rangers in Europe. They're very good in Europe, we all know that. But I think it's the recent game against Hearts, it's fresh in all Rangers fans' mind. And again, you look at the squad, for me, doesn't look that convincing at this moment in time. They've brought in a few new players that weren't starting, so it was that vent of frustration that them guys weren't starting last night. But it was an impressive result, especially when you look at Kiev in the last round where they won the two ties over 9-2 over Belgrade. So, it was an impressive result, and it's a result that I fully expect Rangers to capitalise on that when they bring it back to Hampden and win the tie.
Who impressed you, William?
I thought that boy, Yefte, come on, played very well. You know, young Conor Barron looks a good player for the future. Balogun definitely impressed me. I thought he was man of the match. He solidified the defence. If we get that other defender in beside him, I think that could solve a lot of problems. Yeah, the young boy Barron, Yefte, Balogun, I think they were the standouts.
Either two ways of looking at it. You could say that, you know, because the result went the way it did, that Philippe Clement was vindicated, he was justified in his team selection. I think it's based on the phone calls last night, it's probably a good job it went quite well, because the anger at Robin Proper not playing, and the fact that Scott Wright was still in the team in 2024, all these things that we were hearing, I feel like it was set up. The backlash would have been massive had last night gone badly. So well done to the players that did play for getting something,
and well done to the manager for selecting that team. He put a team on the pitch that got a result, and a result that every Rangers fan probably would have taken, that bringing it back to Hampden. It'll be interesting to see what he does with Robin Proper, because as William mentioned there, he Balogun for me is a top defender. I really like Balogun in there. I like Suter, but I'm unconvinced sometimes with his defending. For me, the goal, when I watched the goal, Yilmaz lost the ball, yes, at halfway line. Conor Barron probably shouldn't have slid in and sell his cell, but then Suter backed off, played the Kiev player on, but then he didn't make the decision to either stick with the striker and go his run, or shut off the front post area and make the cross become a cutback. And I just sometimes think that John Suter defensively lets his cell down a bit. Yes, we know he's a brilliant player on the ball, and he is a very good player, but I really like Leon Balogun, so it'll be interesting to see who the partnership is.
I suppose it wasn't without its issues, Jim, and Rangers trailed for the vast, you know, right up until the end. And, you know, they had to make changes within that. I think William said Jeffrey coming on in a position that probably is not really where people thought we would see him, but that seemed to have made a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one. But, you know, if you lose 1-0, there's probably much more criticism. You score in the 94th minute, and you know, it covers a multitude of sins at times. But that the as Cammy said, the manager did make substitutions, and it did have an impact in the game. So you have to give due credit to Philippe Clement for doing that. He's got a few players still missing. Obviously, he doesn't believe that maybe Czerny's up to speed yet, and you know, the more game time he gets, he's probably getting a lot closer to that now. Obviously, lost Cortez at the weekend, so you know, there are mitigating circumstances why he maybe picked some other guys ahead, some of the ones he's just recently signed, they're on the bench. But ultimately, it's about getting a result in Europe. As William had said, Rangers have been very good at that over the last few years, and they done it again last night. Now they've got to go and do the job. I mean, I mentioned the kind of pressure that's on them, the responsibility. Now that will ramp up. You know, the Rangers fans now will expect Rangers to win this tie at Hampden. And that can sometimes, I say to you, you know, that responsibility can sometimes weigh heavily on the shoulders. It's how they can cope with that and how they can deal with that. And if they do that, then obviously they've got another tie to overcome. But first things first, get a result, which they did do. Now see if you can capitalise on it, and you know, obviously we'll find that out next week.
Let's thank William for his time and bring in Craig, who is in Knightswood. What did you take away from last night, Craig?
I just think that was a brilliant result, to be honest, because I don't think anybody expected Rangers to get a result like that last night. I thought people were expecting Dynamo Kiev to run over the top of us after the...
William didn't. Don't you forget.
Sorry?
I'm saying William, the last caller, he had faith. He was pointing out how good Rangers have been in Europe.
Yeah, we have been great in Europe over the last 5 years. I mean, our coefficient position tells that. But, and I agree with him, we have been holding up the Scottish coefficient to a certain degree. But the Rangers team that's here just now was never expected to even get a decent result. I would have took a 2-0 last night, to be honest. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but if we only got beat 2-0 last night, I would have been reasonably satisfied.
I think, you know, so to to strike it somewhere in the middle. I take your point. Kiev were very good in the their previous round.
Yep.
So that set alarm bells ringing for some people. But we have been saying on the last few nights on the show, in normal times, when you're not bogged down claiming that Rangers are in major crisis, you would take Dynamo Kiev, then Salzburg or Twente to get to the Champions League. It isn't as difficult a route as it could be. So all it was going to take was for Rangers almost to rediscover a bit of what they've had in Europe the last few seasons. I don't tend to make match predictions, I'll leave it to you guys, but even as good as Dynamo Kiev were in the previous round, I never felt it was a strength of opponent that was going to come and batter Rangers.
I would say, Cammy, I don't know about yourself, is that, yeah, I get that, Gordon, but it's a lot of new players in that team. If you think about it, the players in the past were always Ghost and Barisic for a start, you know, so they were...
Well, not many new at the club, though.
Yeah, but in terms of had played in those type of games, if you say...
The spine of the team's changed, obviously,
Jack, Lundstrom, etc. There's been a lot of players there. We mentioned the players that are injured in the wide areas. So... bringing together even four or five kind of new guys, Yilmaz has not been, you know, not played many games for Rangers. Obviously, Conor Barron coming in, Diamandis still new to that. As we mentioned, a new partnership, a relatively new partnership in Suter and Balogun, even though Balogun's experienced. So there was a lot of things that, you know, that you're not 100% sure how they will deal with it. And I felt that they dealt with it. Even though Ukraine, you're right, with Cammy saying we're much better in the first half, you know, Jack Butland didn't have to pull off too many.
No,
you know, too many, you know, what you would call great saves.
No, he had a couple of saves that certainly you'd expect the goalkeeper of Jack Bolton's quality to make, and he did that. What I would say is probably there's been a lot of negativity over the last 2 months around about Rangers, starting from the stadium into a number of players, unrest, players leaving. Some players haven't left yet that are going to leave, probably... not as many players coming into the club as the fans expected. So there's been that negativity festering around, and then probably the result of the weekend didn't help, the performance of the weekend didn't help. So, but when you break it down, I would fully expect Rangers to go over there to Poland and give them a game. I wouldn't have expected anything less, because I do think they've got the players to do it.
You get that eye test. Yes, you can judge Kiev on what they did in the previous round or who they've played before, but you sit and watch a game, you turn it on 20 minutes in, you just can tell they're not going to run over the top of Rangers. There's not that much in it. It's a game that can go either way.
No, and listen, I still think Kiev have got quality going forward,
for sure.
They will be a threat at Hampden. But again, it's nothing to fear for Rangers. Definitely not. They looked certainly the second half when they sorted the shape out a little bit and the problem down that left hand side. Once they rectified that, they looked like the threat going forward. If that game had went another 10 minutes, I would have fancied Rangers to go and get another goal.
I think it will be a test playing at Hampden, though.
Yeah,
because it's not Ibrox. Yeah. It's not got the same atmosphere. You don't generate the same atmosphere at Hampden. You know, we've mentioned this before, obviously, for major cup ties or cup finals, because of the design of the stadium and because of, you know, the way it generates atmosphere, there won't be the same kind of like intensity.
I get that, but they can't use that as an excuse. They know they're playing at Hampden. They've known for weeks now they're playing at Hampden. They've got a game on Saturday that'll allow them to get a feel for it, and then they've got that game on Tuesday night.
And then that man, Cyril Dessers, Craig, pops up with the all-important goal.
Yeah, well, Cyril Dessers has got a lot of stick off a lot of Rangers fans who are friends of mine, and I don't understand how he can... I know he misses his chances, but he's usually there and about it, and he scored 22 goals last season. I mean, I can't remember the last time a Rangers striker scored 22 goals in a season.
I shouldn't admit this because it's kind of my job, but I'm sort of out of ways to present the Cyril Dessers debate. Yeah. You've all heard it. The numbers are good. Yeah. The criticism's strong, though. This is the latest chapter. Take it away. Tell me something.
When he scores his goals, and you know, the tighter games, then people always look at the kind of major matches, if you want to call it that, the ones that really matter, that can define you whether you're winning leagues or cups or these kind of things. I think that Dessers has done well. You know, I really do. I think you know, you score 20 goals or whatever, you know, you know that's pretty good going at any level. So I think other players have got away with it a little bit. You know, he's almost been the fall guy for some of the other players, particularly, as I said, to the midfield last year, and the wide players didn't chip in with anything, a fraction of what they should have done. Even going back to, you know, before, when the likes of Ryan Kent and that was there, there were certain guys that seemed to be almost kind of protected, mm-hmm. and other guys get the. Listen, that's the way football's been forever, Kent was Gordon. There's always been a fall guy.
Kent was all eye test and no numbers. Yeah. And now Dessers seems to be the other way. Yeah. Anyway, well, thank Craig for his time. It's 01419511025. What did you take away from last night? Or if there's anything else that's on your mind, great time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Jim Duffy are in the building, looking back primarily on Rangers' draw against Dinamo Kiev last night. And if you want to, looking ahead to St Mirren and Kilmarnock's qualifiers tomorrow, the transfer window remains open. So all your thoughts, whatever it is, if you want to get your wish list in, you want to talk about players that might leave your club, we're here for it. James is up next on the line. How are you, James?
Hi, good evening, gents. Just looking back on last night as well, saying to your producer there that I think pre-match, a lot of Rangers fans had looked at the starting lineup and we're a wee bit bewildered, if you like. We weren't too confident getting into the tie. I certainly wasn't. You know, Dynamo had put 9 goals by Partizan Belgrade, who may not be top-level opposition, but certainly may be of a reasonable standard. But, you know, I thought we actually played reasonably well over the piece. Another cheap goal given away, poor play from Yilmaz, leading up to that, and I think John Souter has to take his share of the blame as well, for the striker nipping in at the back post. But, you know, Cyril Dessers popping up. Whatever you think about Dessers, he's maybe not everybody's cup of tea, but he's always there. He's resilient, and he, you know, he's getting himself into the positions. And you know, if you get yourself into positions as often as he does, you know, you'll get goals, and that goal could be invaluable last night.
I think over the last couple of days, you even take the, it was his header, wasn't it, that produced that,
at Hearts.
Yeah. And then it was his header that produced the wonder save from the goalkeeper last night.
Was, yeah.
So look, there are times when you do think, is he cursed? You know, I'm not saying he doesn't miss chances, of course he does, but you know, over the last couple of days, it's been pretty obvious that he's had a kind of rough end of it until he pops up with the goal.
But he's had a few rough days before that, and as James says, he's very resilient. He comes back, he wants more, he's hungry, he plays right to the final whistle. So you've got to give him credit for that. I kind of feel as if Cyril Dess has had a rough ride, because I feel as if there's so much weight on him as a number nine. There's nobody else backing him up. There's nobody there to help him. Danilo got injured early on in the season, so he was carrying that whole team last year, and they rely on his goals. I sometimes feel as if there was another striker there at the club that was the similar or better standard, then the criticism wouldn't be as harsh as it is on Cyril Dessers.
Maybe that's a conversation for a different time. I don't want to get too distracted by it, but Danilo played 0 minutes over those two games. It's quite rare, isn't it, for if you've got two strikers that are even close to supposed to be at a similar level. If, I mean, at the weekend, you're obviously looking for a winner.
Yeah, you would have thought if he was fit, he would throw him on. So, you know, maybe there is some underlying thing. He is available, if you want to call it that, but Clement just doesn't think he's ready to compete unless, you know, something happens to Dessers. But I'm with Cammy. I think I mentioned earlier on, I think that the contribution from other players has got to be better. And also partnerships. It doesn't necessarily mean a striking partnership. It could be the 10. And I think Rangers obviously brought Cantwell in thinking he was going to be that type of guy. It didn't quite work. Lawrence has not been, you know, available all the time. And I think if you get someone, not only in terms of linking up the play and being more creative and chipping in with the goals, but also in the pressing, you know, if you've got someone that backs up your press, because at times I feel a wee bit sorry for Des. As I look, you can see him, he goes from one defender, the ball goes to the goalkeeper, he goes to the goalkeeper, he's at the other defender, and he turns around as if to say, where are yous?
Yeah.
And I think, as I say, so I think you need somebody that can combine with them in both aspects, both from a positive side and in the pressing side when you don't have the ball.
James, obviously Václav Černý comes on and makes that goal as well. Does that give you a bit of excitement as to what he can bring?
The strange thing is, Gordon, that when he came on up until that point, I didn't actually think he'd particularly good game. I don't think he's 100% fit yet. I know he'd a few weeks off after the Euros, and I think he'd played particularly well. But that said, the quality of the cross, where it's in between the last defender and the goalkeeper couldn't really come for it, was superb. And to be fair to Dessers, as the guys are saying, he's there, he's in there at the right time, and, you know, there's no better feeling than a last-minute equaliser or a last-minute goal, and certainly not in a tie where so much is at stake financially, as well as obviously trying to qualify for the Champions League. But yeah, Černý, I think, as he gets game time, will improve. And I think, yeah, he certainly has got qualities. And I think Rangers have lacked, with the exception of Tavernier, Rangers have lacked quality with the final ball into the box over quite a while, to be honest. So I think he can certainly bring a lot to the table, and obviously adding in Robin Proper, who hopefully would start on Saturday. I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think John Souter had a really shaky game. And I think Proper and Balogun going forward, as things stand, would probably be the preferred partnership.
Do you agree with that? Because I feel like obviously, if you look at the weekend, Davies and Souter,
yep.
Davies was the one that was shaky, shall we say, mm-hmm. and he was the one that was changed. People wanted Proper to come in. Might we actually see that it's Balogun and Proper going forward?
Yeah, as I said before, I really like Balogun as a defender. I think he defends really well. He's strong, he's physical, he can pass the ball as well. I like Souter as well. Souter's great on the ball and can see that ball forward and can pass it out from the back. I just question him defensively sometimes. I watched him last season, a few goals there were that came down either his side or his positional play sometimes, I think, lets him down. But it would be good options. Listen, it's great options because we've seen it before. Rangers get injuries, so it's always good to have extra bodies in that centre defence position.
On the Černý point, you know, James was clearly quite happy with what he saw, Jim. And it is, it's funny, just thinking back to this time last night, everything goes out the window once you get the result. But again, at this time last night, Gordon in particular was confused. I hear you all, I know he's easily confused, but, you know, saying, but what do you mean Cherny's not at the game time to start? Because he came on at the weekend. McCausland hasn't played at all,
yeah.
And you know, he's able to go in and play, but in the end, fair play, Rangers manage it, and he comes on and makes the impact.
Yeah, I do agree with James. I think he actually struggled a wee bit when he came on. He fell over the ball a couple of times, he can overrun it a few times, but it's that one moment when you're looking for, you know, that bit of composure. He picked the ball up, he shifted it, and he whipped in a fantastic ball. And Des, as we mentioned, when he's not having to overthink it, that's when he's at his best. So he's just made the run, he's got in, he's in between defenders, and he's just kept his eye on the ball and made sure he made good contact with it. And because of the quality and the pace on the ball, that was all that Dessers had to do to make sure it went in the back of the net. But I think that is something that Rangers have liked. But not just Rangers, I think it's a modern way of playing. You don't get that many wingers that actually whip balls into the box now. Most of it's now looking for cutbacks or looking for people to make the runs down the side where they're feeding players. So it was nice to see. You know, yeah, it was a bit of a throwback, you know, getting a winger faced up and then just saying, I'm going to stick across into the box here. But if you're a striker, you know, you'd probably thrive on that. And that's something that, you know, that if I was Dessers, I'd be saying to Černý and anybody else, whether it's Matondo or whether it's McCausland, if they go to the other side, listen, put them in the box. If you do, I'll score more goals.
Well, I don't know, put a percentage or something on it, James. How confident are you Rangers progress from this position?
I think the whole dynamic of the tie, Gordon's probably changed with that equaliser. At 1-0 to Kiev, you know, we're still very much in the tie. And got a fighting chance. I think now, I think you'd have to make Rangers favourites. As I say, Proper, I think, will come back in Saturday and all being well for next Tuesday. Gives the whole team a bit of confidence. I was listening to some of the podcasts today, and you know, they're saying it's the first, it feels like the first real positive thing around the club for a little while. You know, I think there's £5 million at stake in this tie, so financially there's a big incentive. But yeah, I think the dynamic of the tie has changed, and you could see the Ukrainians were completely despondent, as you would be losing a last minute goal. So yeah, I would make it 70-30 in Rangers' favour.
Good man, that was James in Bayliston. Andy is in Falkirk. What did you take away from it, Andy?
I actually thought we actually didn't play not too bad in the second half. I thought the first half were quite poor, swapping possession, but I thought in the second half we upped the game a wee bit and we did it to Kiev and we got a goal. I thought we kind of deserved in the second half, but it'll be a different game at Hampden next week. Yeah. But it's obviously not Ibrox.
Talk to us about personnel. Who's working, who's not working, what needs brushed up going forward?
That's a good question, to be honest. I thought in midfield, Diamandé and Barton, they look good together. But I didn't see Scott Wright being a player going forward for Rangers. I think he could be a good impact player coming off the bench, but not starting, not 100% starting.
I'm starting to feel a bit sorry for Scott Wright because none of this is his fault and he's an easy go-to. But Rangers fans could have phoned in and made that point years ago about Scott Wright, and again, I know it sounds really cruel, but
they did.
It's been ongoing constantly, this sort of, you know, he'll come in and he'll start. I think he's been subbed at half time multiple times in this calendar year, which maybe tells its own story. Maybe going forward, Cherney obviously will play. Cortez is injured though, so he's still going to be there or yeah, thereabouts.
Listen, I think Scott Wright is a good impact player. As Andy said there, I do think he has got a part to play, a squad player who can come on and impact it. I think he's got that about him, the energy when he comes on as a sub. I don't see him as a Rangers starter, I'll be honest. But again, that probably says a lot on Rangers' recruitment over the last couple of seasons, that it's not been good enough. They've not brought in wingers or been able to retain wingers that they've had at the club. So yeah, it's not Scott Wright. He didn't have a great game last night, and it was the right change to make because they were really struggling down that left hand side. Yilmaz was very isolated at the back, and they were the Ukrainian side realised that and were playing everything down the left hand side and getting a lot of joy from it. But it completely changed in the second half, and I felt as if Rangers were decent in the second half and had a good bit of control of the game anyways, and created a number of opportunities as well.
James liked Diamandé and Barron, Jim.
Andy.
But I know you actually think they need a bit of help in there.
Yeah, I'm not totally convinced with the partnership. I think that they're nice footballers, but I think you need a little bit more. You need a little bit more strength in there and a little bit more knowledge. In terms of when the opposition have the ball, as Cammy mentioned earlier on, young corner rushes to the ball, and I think that's part of his game, but he needs to know when to put the brakes on, when to delay things, when to slow things down. That's all going to take time. So I don't think it's the right balance at the moment. It's maybe the best that Philip Clement has at his disposal just now. But not for me the ideal balance, particularly when you know, they get into tougher games. So the first half, as Andy mentioned last night, you know, I think the midfield Rangers were overrun, but they got better as when they made the changes. I feel a bit sorry for Scott Wright, I know, but I think it's time for him to go. I think the Rangers fans are never going to take to him. I think we've had this debate now for over a couple of seasons. I think it's too long now. I think it's time he moved on. Time he get himself a fresh start. Maybe go somewhere where he's appreciated a little bit more for whatever reason. He can relax a little bit more, use his experience at Rangers. But I just think it is time for him to move on. And I think that eventually it'll be Cherney, and whether it's McCausland or Matondo while Cortez is getting fit. But there's still a bit of work for Rangers to do in the transfer market to get themselves a stronger squad and a little bit more experience to deal with the demands ahead, and particularly if they beat Dynamo Kiev next week.
Thank you very much to Andy. If you want to keep your thoughts coming on the Rangers game, you can. If you want to switch focus, we're here for that as well. What about you Celtic fans? Is this just a case of waking up every morning and ticking off on your calendar another day that Matt O'Reilly stays during the transfer window and hoping you get to the end of the month with him intact? What are you thinking about the club's incomings? It's still very quiet on that front from an outfield perspective. I wonder about the centre back area as well, because again, what feels like the 10th transfer window in a row, reports about Stephen Welsh being wanted, but also being told that he's going to stay because he's part of Celtic's plans. Navrotsky, big hopes for him in the summer signing last year. Looks like he might be allowed to move on. So what do you think of that department and transfers in general? If you call us right now, we'll get you on next and let me tell you about this as well. Have you ever sat back and thought about how you'd feel if you won £270,000 on the cash register this week? I'm sure you would put it to good use and it would be in your bank account ready to spend by the weekend. Please don't blow it all in one weekend if you are the lucky winner. But it could happen for you only if you're in the draw, of course, and if you remember the prize amount. So £270,000. Should be easy to remember, but do what you need to make sure it is locked in there. £270,000. And to be in it, you have to text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. Over 18s only. Entries since the lines opened 6 a.m. 22nd of July, they've all rolled over, and all the other rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. The lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday, so you are starting to run out of time. It could be your phone that's ringing. So to win, answer your phone within the five rings. Tell us this week's cash register amount, £270,000, well remembered, and it would be paid into your bank straight after the call. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Cammy Bell are here on 0141 951 1025. I always tell you, you can get in touch with the show at Clyde SSB on Twitter. And speaking of which, we did a bit of this on air, but now it's there, it's published for everyone to see, to save, bookmark, screenshot, do whatever you need to. The pundits' predictions for the season ahead are now there, videoed as well, just so that you can look into their eyes when they're making those predictions and try and figure out what's going on in their brains. And is it extremely difficult to do it before a ball's kicked and before transfers are finalised? Yes, it is, but that is part of the fun. I mean, Jim Duffy's staring back at me from my computer screen as he sits next to me at the moment. So get on that, get it bookmarked. Ridicule them all come May. Or it might not even take to May. Some of those predictions will be up in smoke by Halloween. So you can have a wee look there at Clyde SSB. I'm sure it will appear on our other social channels as well. But 01419511025. Still lots of reaction coming in to Rangers last night, and I'm sure we will go back to it from the other side of the city. Cammy, I know we're in Wednesday, we're moving on a bit, but you were an eyewitness to Celtic at the weekend.
Yep.
And with your Kilmarnock hat on, you might not have enjoyed it, but with your pundit's hat on, what did you make of it?
Yeah, no, I was really impressed by Celtic, to be honest. I think they looked like a team that had been together for a while, and that's what I would say. Kasper Schmeichel making his debut, but I think when you've got that experience as a goalkeeper, and I've said how important he'll be for Celtic this season, fitted in seamlessly. They moved the ball really well. Had loads of pattern of play. Nicholas Kuhn impressed me. I thought he was sharp. He looked as if he had a bit of confidence about him. James Forrest out on the other wing again. Kyogo up front looked more back to himself. And Matt O'Reilly, for me, he's just different class. Watching him live, he's a brilliant football player. I've said this before, it's going to be difficult to keep a hold of him, but it'll be important to Celtic if they can, because you can't replace a guy like that.
I said it before the travel, Jim, it's another day that kind of feels the same. Matt O'Reilly's not gone yet, if he is going to at all. No outfield signings apart from Paolo Bernardo have been made yet. So it's either going to be a blockbuster end to this transfer window, or is it just going to continue like this quietly?
Well, Brendan Rodgers seems to think it'll be a blockbuster end. He's continually said that they'll be in a lot stronger position by the end of a transfer window. So he is adamant. I know he's used words like we don't want to be snoozing on transfers and things like that. But he's adamant that those players will come in to strengthen the team. I think it is more difficult for Celtic. I've said this before, because you know, the particularly the kind of 14, 15 players, if you want to call it that, that I believe is a real nucleus of their side. But the starting 11 that can be witnessed at the weekend there is very, very strong. And it's hard then. You then go to look at players who are either can give you something different or are better. And they're not easy to find. So it is harder for Celtic at this moment in time, if you've got the riches that they do have. But Matt O'Reilly, as Cammy again said, is absolutely exquisite at this moment in time. He's just a beautiful footballer to watch. He's got fantastic balance, creativity. His awareness is outstanding. I'm still amazed that some clubs are dragging their heels and trying to get him on the cheap. I mean, if he's not worth £20 million plus, I don't know who is, really. And I'm thinking, what are they waiting on? So there's talk now about Brighton and that kind of level where they're obviously maybe going to lose Billy Gilmour. I'm amazed.
Well, Scott McTominay getting quoted for £30 million. I know he's at Manchester United, but for me, I watch Matt O'Reilly as a player, and usually say creativity. He flicked the ball over. There was a free kick 25 yards out, and he flicked the ball over the wall just for Kyogo to go onto, and that was a controversial penalty moment. But I just think he's a fantastic. He's 23 years old as well, so for me, he's going to go on and get better and better.
Let's bring in John, who's a Celtic fan. What have you got for us tonight, John?
Evening, Gordon, Jim, Cammy.
Hello, John.
I was just seeing, what you call it, that Matt Hummels is available on a free transfer. I know he might be 34, 35, Jim, but in the Champions League last year, the final, that guy was there, Dortmund's best player. So we have got the money. And I was just thinking, remember when Brendan was there the first time, he brought in Kolo Touré for a bit of experience. I think it'd be a great signing. It'd be a marquee signing for us. Just wonder what you think we'll go for in somebody like that.
I love this part of the transfer window because I would welcome anyone to throw any name in there. Why not? I don't know. I think actually, funnily enough, Brighton, I don't know if they're going to spoil your summer, John, by taking Matt O'Reilly and signing Mats Hummels, but I think I read a link with Brighton and the former Dortmund skipper. I don't know, why not? Yeah. It's as good a suggestion as it could.
John saying
what kind of wage demands would Mats Hummels make?
Yeah, I understand all that, but I don't think it would do any harm in terms of, you know, John was saying there about a marquee signing, going there and trying to get him. And you can make it public. You can say, look, we've been trying to get this type of player. Now, if he decides not to go for financial reasons or football reasons, and if other Premier League clubs comes in or whatever it happens to be, then fine. But throw your hat in the ring, put yourself in the mix and see whether a player like that, can you attract him? Yeah, of course, you're going to have to throw, you know, a considerable sum of money at him. But I don't mind that idea from John. I don't think it'll happen. I think it's very, very difficult to attract that level of player into Scottish football. But why not give it a go?
I think...
worth a phone call.
You look at the list of clubs that are rumoured to be interested as well. Brighton, I think West Ham were another. I know he's done a lot in the game.
Yep.
But what he hasn't done is had a crack at the English Premier League, and I love our game dearly and all the rest of it. But you just wonder if there are multiple English Premier League clubs there, the chances of him maybe wanting a crack at that. Like, I know Celtic could give him Champions League football. But as John says, he's been to a final. You know, he's experienced a fair bit of that.
Yeah, listen, it's very ambitious. But as Jim says, like, why not make the phone call, Matt? Why not put it out there that we're interested and we'd love to bring him to the club? And yeah, probably against these other English sides, the only thing you've got going for you is Champions League football, chance to win trophies domestically in Scotland. You never know. You don't know what the driving force is behind him. I'm pretty sure he's got enough money in the bank to last him forever. But I would say, why not just be ambitious?
Is that an area of the pitch, John, that you think needs particular care and attention? Because without going all Hugh Keevans, to go back to the last summer when Navrotsky and Lager Bielka were brought in for good money, they're clearly not on the picture. So it's, you know, William Scales is still one of the starting centre backs, and then really Stephen Welsh looks like he's one of the backups, based on a story that's been coming out about him in the last couple of days. So what do you make of that department?
Well, don't be wrong, I thought Big Scales was fantastic in Sunday, but I mean he's not. If we want to go the next step into Europe, a guy like, as I said, when Brendan brought Kolo Touré in for experience, He done well after, apart from I'm with the Howler, one of the last games in the Champions League group stages the last time. But I still think we should go for, he plays with Big Vickers is solid. He's a great player. And I think it'd be great for us to have a guy like Hummels with experience in the Champions League. You know what I mean? I think it would take us to the next level. And maybe, all the Celtic fans want to, we all want to finish above Rangers, but we also want to do something in Europe, because the last 10, 12 years, even 15 years, Europe's been an absolute disaster for us, so it has.
Yeah, thank you very much to John. If you've any thoughts there on Celtic's centre defensive area, you can share them, but it is that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it is Beat the Pundit time. Marvin Bartley got an 8-6 win on Monday. Honestly, this is the place to be for entertainment. Can't even remember who won last night, which is shame on me, really.
I'm just, it's only one day away, Gordon, you know?
Last night was so last night was Tuesday, right? Like, I'm really struggling. No. Gordon or Simon?
I can't remember either.
Anyway, you could win tonight. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Cammy Bell are in the building and both waiting for you patiently to get in touch on the usual number, on Twitter, however you fancy. Let us know what you're thinking tonight. Naturally, as you would expect, lots of reaction coming in to Rangers' draw against Kiev last night. Lots of happy, satisfied Rangers fans. So if you want to add your thoughts about who was good and who wasn't, and what you think the tie looks like going into next week, please keep that coming. Just before the break, we did a bit on Celtic's transfer window and where that's at. So again, if you've any thoughts there, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you will, get them over to us. St Mirren fans, Killy fans, big qualifier tomorrow, and a new VAR manager in Scottish football. Cannot believe Hugh Keevans was overlooked for the role, but we'll tell you more about that a bit later. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right then, Beat the Pundit time. I've had ages to think about it, and honestly, this is worrying me. I cannot remember last night's Beat the Pundit. I'm only back a week.
Simon Donnelly.
Simon played. That much I can remember.
Has nobody reminded you yet?
No.
Okay.
Not really. Oh no, Simon won actually. He won 6-5. There we go.
Big high score.
High scoring this week. Yeah.
We're 1-0 tonight.
We're entertainers. Jimmy.
Going a defender here.
Jimmy is a Celtic fan. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Where are you calling from, Jimmy?
Gala.
Is that Gala, your neck of the woods?
Gala Shields?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Borders. I'm Dumfries and Galloway.
Ah, right. Yeah. See, that's just typical Glasgow in the way. Oh, not that far? Okay. I don't feel too stupid for asking. I thought it might be your neck of the woods. Well, you could drop the ball off if Jimmy wins.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
A wee detour. See how we get on. Right, anyway, if it's heads. Have you ever played before, by the way, Jimmy?
I have, yes.
Oh, and?
Lost to Kenny Miller.
Well, listen, Kenny Miller, before he disappeared off to Abu Dhabi, was 100% record last season, so no shame in that. Needless to say, Cammy and Jim were not. That's 75 for you last season. I think it's all right.
It was all right.
64. Yeah. It's not bottom. Both of you above Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL. That's what you need to know. Heads, it will be Jim Duffy. Tails, it will be Cammy Bell. And it is. It's Cammy Bell up against Jimmy from Gala. So what we usually do here, it's not changed since the last time you played, Jimmy. We give Cammy some greatest hits radio. We turn it up nice and loud just so that he can't hear what's going on. And we get your clock ready. We put 30 seconds on it. You just answer as many as you can, and you're more than welcome to pass and move on to the next one if you're unsure. Okay?
Yep.
Let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who scored Rangers' equaliser last night?
Cyril Dessers.
What was the score at the end of last season when Hibs beat... what was the score the last time Hibs beat Celtic,
2-0.
Who made more appearances, Charlie Mulgrew for Dundee United or Charlie Adam for Dundee?
Charlie Mulgrew.
Before this season, what year did Livy last play in the Championship?
2016.
Who did Scott Brown manage before here?
Fleetwood Town.
Okay. Let's bring Cammy Bell back. Can you hear us, Cammy?
Yes, I'm back.
See, Jim Duffy had his headphones off, and I was then getting what was coming out of Jim's headphones through the mic. So it was confusing me a wee bit.
Come out of my head.
But there we go.
Mince.
We're back. We're good. Are you ready, Cammy? Same
yes.
set of questions, and your time starts now. Who scored Rangers' equaliser last night?
Dessers.
What was the score the last time Hibs beat Celtic?
2-1.
Who made more appearances, Charlie Mulgrew for Dundee United or Charlie Adam for Dundee?
Charlie Adam.
Before this season, in what year did Livy last play in the Championship?
2017.
Who did Scott Brown manage before Ayr?
Fleetwood.
True or false, St Johnstone haven't won at home in the league in 2024?
True.
Okay. Jimmy, what do you think? How did it feel?
I think he's beat me.
Okay. Wasn't quick enough for the questions. Well, you got one more in. It didn't help that I had verbal diarrhoea on one of your questions, but we got there in the end. Who scored Rangers' equaliser? Dessers. A nice easy question. Up and running. I got my dates mixed up. That's why I made a mess of Jimmy's question. But the score the last time Hibs beat Celtic, I think that's extremely difficult. Not a chance I'd have remembered. 4-2.
Nah, I guess.
At the 4-2, end of
it was the last game of the season.
Yeah, it was like one of the last.
Glow's last game at Easter Road.
Yeah. Scott Bain and goals,
yep,
something
yep,
like that.
We made a mistake, couple of mistakes.
I still couldn't have told you the score anyway. No. 1-1. Who made more appearances? A 50-50 here. Mulgrew for Dundee United or Adam for Dundee? The Charlies. It is Charlie Mulgrew. Ooh. By 9. So Jimmy gets that one on the board and he takes the lead. Before this season, in what year did Livy last play in the Championship? Unfortunately for you, Cammy, this is not a closest two, because it was 2018 18. And you were closer, but not enough for us. You both knew that Scott Brown managed Fleetwood Town before mm-hmm. Ayr United. So again, we're still level. No, we're not. You trail by one. And true or false, St Johnstone haven't won a home league game in 2024. That is true. A last minute equaliser. You're serial Dessers, essentially.
Yeah, love it.
On Beat the Pundit. A 16th of December against Hibs was the last time St Johnstone won at home in the league. 3-3, and off we go to the tiebreaker, Jimmy. The way it works is, I will ask you the question, I'll get Cammy to write his answer down, I'll then get you to give me your attempt, okay?
Yep.
Right. 479 players in the Scottish Premiership last season. How many were from outside Scotland? Write it down, Cammy. 479, the number of players in the Premiership last season. How many were from outside Scotland? Show me your paper. Please don't take too long, because Jimmy could be Googling it for all you know. Let's see it. Okay, what are you going for, Jimmy?
271.
I can tell you, miraculously, one of you is only two out. I mean, I was expecting miles off here. One of you,
you better tell what Cammy's got.
Is two away. Cammy has written 169. Jimmy's gone 271. The answer is 269. It's Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy.
Two out, Jimmy.
Superb.
You were 100 out. Bang on.
Ah, well, that's no bad.
Well, Jimmy, what an answer that was. Complete guess, I take it. Didn't count them all up.
Complete guess. I'm sitting in the car.
Brilliant. What a man, Jimmy. Happy with that. Signed ball, hand delivered by Cammy Bell.
Yeah. I'll deliver it, Jimmy boy.
You'll probably drop it though, Jimmy. That's another.
Can't believe it. He's gone for it.
He
did save three penalties in a game. Are you Cammy's uncle or something?
Like it, Jimmy.
I need you to bring that up. Jimmy, let's talk football for a second before we let you go. Yeah. What's the main thought process for a Celtic fan right now? Just enjoying domestic football, waiting for it to come back this weekend?
I'd like the transfer window to close.
So you'd be almost.
I wouldn't be happy with the lack of signings coming in, but.
But you would kind of take it to keep Matt O'Reilly
and Rio Hatate. I'd like to see them stay.
That's an interesting one.
I was actually going to ask that earlier on. I wonder if Celtic fans would be happy with what they've got if they can keep what they've got.
Well, answer the man. 0141951 1025. Do let us know.
Not entirely happy.
They need a striker badly. They've only got Kyogo.
Need two strikers.
At least one.
I get that there's a numbers game that needs addressed here.
The Matt O'Reilly one is huge though. Again, if they can keep him, which I think they're going to struggle with, because the bids will be coming in, I would imagine, very very high, and as we know, Celtic sell at a certain point, but he's such a big player and would be a big player in the Champions League.
So is that the priority then, Jimmy? It's slightly to keep, you know, the priority leaning towards slightly keeping those guys, but obviously wanting reinforcements.
Yes and no.
I suppose it is. That's a difficult balance. We've just created this hypothetical scenario. Yeah, you don't have to choose our, you know, criteria. I suppose, as you say, Jim, just there is not a team in any level of football really that, that would go with one striker. Doesn't matter what level you're at. Similarly, Celtic have one left back, unless I'm mistaken.
Yeah, one natural left back. But but the fact is that Kyogo Kami was at the game, said he looked sharp and lively, and you know, was playing with a smile on his face, and you know, he looked close to his best. Missed a, obviously a very good chance, but you know, you can't go into any of the competitions that Celtic are going to be competing in this year. You know, you need another top class striker, not just somebody that can fill a jersey, a top class striker. Now, whether that's Ida that comes in, or whether they can manage to find someone else, regardless of what happens with O'Reilly. But I do think as the transfer window gets closer, then you know, the more pressure will come on Celtic, because the bids will go up, whether they go up to the amount of money that they think's good enough. Only time will tell.
The striker one's barely a debate, Cammy, because even teams who don't play in Europe, who get knocked out in the first round of every cup competition, don't have one striker. That's just, it's just not a thing. It's not like that's going to happen, surely.
No. Listen, I firmly believe they'll bring in a striker, and they'll be currently working on a number of options. But I just feel like the Matt O'Reilly and Hitati, to an extent, they're massive. I can't see them both going in this window. I think that would be criminal from Celtic to sell both of them. But the fans will be desperate for O'Reilly to stay.
Have you kind of made your peace with it, Jimmy? I feel like a lot of Celtic fans feel like he just probably will, but I don't know. Is it as set in stone as that?
He's going to go at some point. We've got to accept that. We live in Scotland. We watch football in Scotland. We can't keep the best players. They're going to go at some point.
Yeah, I suppose. And then if you want top dollar, you do it now-ish. I suppose he's still got a couple of years left, doesn't he?
If he was to perform in the Champions League this season, then the value of him would still be there in theory. But then again, if he has a disastrous campaign, the value is not there.
I wonder, see what else we're on about, you know, we're debating transfer fees, and we were watching Sky Sports News during the break here, and we were talking about players going for 25 million that genuinely not sure I've ever even heard of. Is Matt O'Reilly at the stage, Celtic fans might not thank me for asking the question, where even if he has another good season in the Champions League, amidst all this debate Brendan Rodgers is having about, you know, bid for the player, don't bid for the league. Do you think his value can go up much more?
No, I don't.
I think he's at a kind of ceiling, it's
like a house in a certain area. You know, there's a ceiling. Yeah. And I think there's a ceiling in Scottish football, whether we agree with it, whether we like it, is a material. There is, as you mentioned, Gordon, other players we've never even heard of that are going for 20 million plus down south. But that's, you know, we've got to ignore that almost. We've just got to try and maximise the amount of money that we can get for our top players. And if that is 20 million plus add-ons, then that's what it's got to be.
But if he had a good Champions League, though, Celtic haven't had a good Champions League recently. So if he was to have a successful Champions League with Celtic, surely his price would go up.
That's what I'm asking. I still think there's room for it to go significantly.
I think if Celtic were successful in the Champions League, and
do you think someone would pay 30 million for a player in Scottish football if he has a good Champions League?
If they were successful and progressed,
you might.
So then the team success kind of plays a part in it as well.
It does for me,
Jimmy. But something that came up before we got you on there was the centre back area. What do you make of that? Is that a department that needs looked at or not? Or how do you feel overall there?
Need players in at centre back. It's Lagerbielka is clearly not favoured. Navrotsky can't stay fit, and I'm not entirely happy with Liam Scales at centre half.
If Jimmy was to have his way, then definitely need something. And I referenced a story about Stephen Welsh this morning. There's always that caveat with these guys, because Celtic or any European team needs to keep a certain number of homegrown players, and they're kind of good to have around, sort of thing. You do wonder what the thought process is there behind the scenes. What does the recruitment team think they need?
I think again, like Stephen Welsh, whether it's Mikey Johnson, Anthony Ralston, boys have come through the system, boys that know the club. Yeah, we know they're in their early 20s now, and they're not going to be regular players for Celtic. That's just the way it is. But in terms of, you know, being good players to have about the squad, I think that's fair enough. You can't have, in Scottish football, maybe 24 top, top players, you know, the financially as well, it was stretchy. So I think mm-hmm. guys like Stephen Welsh have never let Celtic down. They sure. go in there, you know, when they're required, as and Ralston does at the weekend, when required, and they've got a terrific attitude. Mm-hmm. They want to play for Celtic. I think that's vitally important. You've got to have a good enough level, and I think these boys are at a good enough level. So, you know, why not keep them in the squad? And then if, you know, that would then release some of the funds, whether it be transfer funds or salary funds, to go and get, you know, a Hollywood signing if they become available.
Because as it stands then, Liam Scales is Celtic's second choice centre-back, and Stephen Welsh is third, presumably.
I'm surprised at Jimmy saying that about Liam Scales. I felt as if Celtic fans liked him. I think he's grown.
You get a lot of that.
Yeah, but you get, he's grown as a player, and he's took his opportunity since he's came in. I think that's a little bit harsh on him. Again, at the weekend when I watched him, I felt as if he was impressive. There wasn't a lot against him, apart from Vassell's very physical, so you need to put up with that. Scored a very good header from a set piece. I think the more games he gets for Celtic, the better player he becomes.
Not having him yet, Jimmy?
Domestically, he's fine. But if you want to progress in Europe and prove yourself, you need something above him, something Carter Vickers level.
Is that the same with Greg Taylor in the left-back position, Jimmy?
Greg Taylor's a very good left-back. I think everyone underestimates because of his height. I think it's kind of shell balls on top of him. That's the theory. But Greg Taylor's a far better left-back than what I think Liam Scales is a centre-half.
I need somebody to do the stats for me. I've had this debate before. Mm. Somebody go and find out for me how many balls or how many goals have been scored against Greg Taylor at the back post.
Do you think it's a lot or not?
No, hardly any. Yeah. I mean, these 200-odd games, whatever. I just think people just throw that line out. I don't think it's statistically correct. That's me. I could be proved wrong, but...
It won't be me, so someone else can crunch the numbers.
Tell me, last time, how many headers have been scored at the back post against Celtic in the last couple of years?
I've not got that much time in my hands. Someone will, though. Yeah. Thank you to Jimmy. What about Richard, who's also a Celtic fan? How are you feeling about it all, Richard?
Sorry, is that me?
Yes, it is, Richard. You're on. Take it away.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Don't be daft on you.
Yeah, I just feel we're getting completely robbed.
In what way?
The way the transfer window's gone. Like, we've went into a season with one striker.
Yeah.
But we're Celtic Football Club. That should not happen.
You have to assume, obviously, something's lined up. I mean, but do you not have faith that is the case? No.
No, I don't. Well, everyone in Scottish football knows that Celtic's got a history of not having the second plan. Like Kasper Schmeichel, was that not a last minute thing?
Yeah, I get where people come from. Like, generally, the end result is the most important thing. Who's there? Sometimes it's not that important how they got there. But I've seen people make the point that it looks like, if you read the interviews from Brendan Rodgers, Kasper Schmeichel, Celtic knew they needed a goalie for a long time. But Brendan Rodgers got his phone out, went into his book and called him up. Which, nothing wrong with that. But I do get why fans maybe find that interesting.
Yeah,
Tammy, is that what we're actually relying on?
No, listen, I would imagine...
We have got so much money in the bank.
No, Richard...
And we will not spend it.
No, I would imagine, listen, you've got a huge recruitment department there, so I would imagine there's a plan in place. Celtic are a huge club, so they've got to have a plan. Maybe that comment from Brendan Rodgers. I think Kasper Schmeichel's a brilliant signing, and if he was available, I think he was the perfect signing. I get it that they've not signed a striker, they've let O go, but for me, O wasn't the answer, and if there was an opportunity to offload him, Brendan Rodgers was going to take that and probably gamble that he can put more pressure on the board to say, look, I've moved a striker on, I want to bring one in that's quality and good enough for my team. So, yeah, I fully expect there'll be a striker to come in, but it's not as easy as everyone thinks, bringing in a quality player. Jim touched on it before. You're trying to bring in a player that can actually probably slot into that starting 11. That's difficult.
I suppose specifically that area, though, there's probably two. There probably is a project one needed then as well.
But I've said on the programme, you know, even at the start of this season, you know, Brendan made the comment, look at the quality player, not the league. Well, you've got Lauren Shacklin and you've got Bjorn Mijovski. Bojan Sorimjovski, sitting there who have played for Aberdeen and Hearts, who have both scored significant number of goals, who are different types of players, but would cost you probably $5 million max for Miofsky, maybe a bit less for Shatland because he's only got a year to go on his contract, maybe $3 million or so. But if those type of players would definitely be a good signing for Celtic. I'm not saying they're the top signing, but if you haven't got, as Richard is saying, if you haven't got, you know, someone at the very, very top level you think can come in and put Kyogo or challenge Kyogo, then why not sign one of these guys? They've proven that they can play in Scottish football. They've proven, I think, as I've said before, particularly in Majovsky's case, for a very, very poor Aberdeen team. I mean, he literally carried them for most of the season. He's got real assets. So around Europe, I think sometimes we kind of bypass with the players that play on our doorstep at times. And I'm not saying that they're the only players you should look at, but I think they're worth considering.
You've got to love the transfer window in the social media age. I saw a sort of blurry, distant picture of Bojan Miovsky. Allegedly Bojan Miovsky putting something in his boot today, I think, and it was meant to be at the airport. It's meant to be a sign that he's on his way. I need a better detective than me to check that one out. But thank you to Richard.
His passport, you're all right.
Thank you to Richard for getting in touch. An interesting point made, and you can join in right now. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It is that time of the night where you send a question in to us, a kind of quiz question, a trivia question, and we see if the pundits can come up with the answers. It's called the Full-Time Teaser, and you can get involved by sending me an email, fulltime@clyde1.com. That's what we've done tonight. Looking forward to it. Can you name the seven players since 2004 to score for Celtic against Barcelona in the Champions League? So seven Celtic players since 2004. Craig in Moodysburn, by the way, sent the question. Thank you to him. Seven Celtic players since 2004 to score against Barcelona for Celtic in the Champions League.
Henrik Larsson.
Nope.
Tony Watt.
Yes.
Famously. Famous one.
Yep. Aye. Tony Watt.
John Hartson.
Yep. One from you, Cammy.
Tony Watt was the one that came straight into my head. Okay.
Gary Hooper.
No. Right, we'll leave it there for now. You can. You've got what you got, about half an hour left. So I've got confidence in you. And a reminder, if you want to send your questions in, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. That's what Craig did tonight. Good question, I have to say. We were about to bring in Kenny, I think, and wish you, but he's disappeared. Kenny, if you're listening, do give us a call back. We were about to get you to join in and give us your thoughts. I'm looking around to see what other stories are in the headlines today that we've not covered yet. What about this new VAR manager for Scottish football, John Moss? You'll all know the name, English Premier League referee. I think he was sort of mentioned when the job that Willie Collins now got was vacant and Crawford Allen was leaving. He was mentioned there and didn't get it. Willie Collum got it and he's now in as the VAR manager, tasked with improving VAR, obviously. He's going to support Willie Collum in maintaining the highest standards of VAR training, implementation, appointment and performance review. He obviously has done some big games. I think FA Cup final 2015, 2019 League Cup final, 250 odd English Premier League games. Retired a couple of years ago. Just another name for people to blame about things.
On the other side of the border, doesn't he hear all the stick exactly he's going to get? It's actually quite a sensible solution.
Can he do this job remotely?
Don't be Scottish or don't work in Scotland there. Sorry, don't live in Scotland. Yeah, I mean, anything can improve the game. You know, we're happy with. I mean, we say the same things all the time. It's just the frustration is, you know, one decision one week, some other decision the next week gets a different result, and that's a frustrating thing. So yeah, if he can make things a little bit simpler and a little bit more consistent, then I think fair enough. And I think he's got all the experience. He's worked in the very best league with the resources. It'll be interesting to see what resources he has at his disposal. I don't think it'll be quite the same as the English Premier League has, for sure.
Yeah, listen, for me, it can't get much worse than last year. I felt as if it was a poor year for refereeing as a whole. VAR intervened far too much for me as well. So hopefully he's educating his referees and the VAR referees not to get involved as much, because it was too many decisions for me. They got involved and they should have just let the game go. And yeah, it's a difficult one, but I think it'll be interesting because it's a new regime with Willie Collum coming in and John Moss. So hopefully it's an improvement.
On the face of it, not much to go on until this system starts finding its feet throughout the season. But just to have another role there created, it sounds like that's yeah. going to be a good thing, because the head of operations previously would have been in charge of VAR as well. And by the way, Willie Collum still is. He's going to oversee yeah. the full thing. But it does just make sense to get another person in there to try and spread the load a bit,
specialising in that area. So it's allowing him to specialise with referees and probably create training programmes and everything, so Willie Collum can concentrate on other things, because it's a big department. It's a lot of people to manage as well. So I think when you bring in more bodies that are at the top, that allows the quality to hopefully filter down.
Because we've seen Willie Collum setting his stall out, talking about not intervening as much and that bar being different from what it has been previously. And then we saw Conor Barron's handball was a good example. I think what people need to not lose sight of is there's not a league or a competition anywhere that doesn't have decisions that you disagree with. So I think most people thought Kyogo should have had a penalty at the weekend, and there wasn't. You're just never getting rid of that. I mean, we watched England, we watched the Euros, Stuart Armstrong, anyone still think that was a penalty? You know,
are they allowing the referees to referee the game a little bit more?
Yeah, and like I say, you're still going to get decisions you disagree with, but it would be interesting to see if they can commit to that bar.
You don't want no controversy, or half this programme is going to be amiss. So you need a bit of controversy, and we accept a bit of controversy, but we just want less of it.
Well, even by definition, though, it is impossible to get rid of that, because you and I will still just disagree on an incident. That's never going away. It's just about tidying it up, I suppose.
No, I totally agree. There's always going to be different opinions, but as I said before, I think it's just VAR not intervening as much. And again, they've done that probably the first weekend, where they've allowed the referees to make the decision. Again, there's opinions. A lot of people did think it was a penalty, but again, they've went with the referee's decision on the pitch. They maybe could see his rationale of why he's came to that decision, and they're not intervening as much. And that's what I want to see more.
I would like to see referees as well, you know, standing by their decisions a little bit more as well. You know, not always being as influenced by the VAR. Too many times you go there and listen, you know, as soon as they go to the monitor, then it's guaranteed that they go with the VAR. So I think if a referee makes a decision, have the strength of conviction to look at that again. And
I think part of our problem last season though was actually quite a lot, but relatively speaking, we had quite a few occasions where the ref did stick by and then got battered for it, because then the independent review would come out and say that he was wrong to stick by it. It's almost like all we want is the right decision in the end, whatever that means. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. John Moss, we wish you well. If you want to come and join the Madhouse here, you're more than welcome. 01419511025. Gary is in Edinburgh, looking back on last night, I suspect. Gary, take it away.
Hi there. I was just a question for Cammy. Obviously, we got the draw against Kiev, and it was one of the things where I thought the first the passing and movement last night was really well. I thought we'd done well. I think in terms of losing the goal, I think Ridvan, obviously, it's no very often he's at fault. He was at fault there. But I mean, the defence, the likes of Suter, I just didn't think Suter's a Rangers class, to be fair. I just honestly, it's just as what is. But in terms of like say Suter and Balogun, and even Tav, you'd expect it for them, but for it to be Ridvan's one of the players that I highly rate at Rangers. In terms of up front, the like say Dessers and Lawrence, I think Dessers last night, I think as a player, he sits there and gives 100%. The amount of movement that he makes and some of the positions that he gets in are incredible. It's just the final product that is sadly lacking. But I mean, it just goes to show you, I mean, normally round about the last couple of minutes to go, we'd just sit there and we wouldn't play right up to the end. But I mean, last night we sat there and even with 30 seconds to go on, sit there and still thought we could get a result, which we actually got the result, got the draw and taking it back to Hampden, which I think it was crucial to get that goal, and now it's all to play for at Hampden.
Yeah, what do you make of the assessment from Gary? You know, he says he's a Radovan Yilmaz fan.
Yep.
But obviously, pretty costly mistake. What does that area now look like? Because is Jeffy now a winger all of a sudden? If Scott Wright isn't cutting it for people just right now, and Ross McCausland's still not forcing his way in, and you're waiting on Cortez, is the solution to keep Jeffy there? Can he threaten Yilmaz's position? What does the left side look like?
No, listen, I like Yilmaz as well. I think he's a good young player, and he's only going to grow with the number of appearances he gets with Rangers, and game time he consistently plays. So I think I see him as long term solution as a left back. In front of him at this moment in time, I think that position's up for grabs. I don't think we've got a natural winger that is probably good enough to play week in, week out. Probably depends what type of team you're playing, but I think touching on the defence where he says he doesn't see John Souter as Rangers' quality, I think John Souter has got the quality to play for Rangers. I just question sometimes he's defensively, as I said before. I've seen him make a number of defensive errors. I like him with the ball. I think he's very useful, can create counter attacks, can play that ball forward. But Balogun for me brings that stability to the back line. I think he's very physical as well. And we touched on Dessers up front. I think he works his socks off. He scores a number of goals. We can't be too critical of that. But I think it's just that I don't think he's an instinctive striker. I don't think there was a couple of opportunities I watched where he can just, and I've seen it in past season, last season, a number of times where he takes too many touches. He doesn't just try and get his shot away, whereas if it was a Chris Boyd, as soon as that ball sits up, he just wants to head towards a goal. And Dessers doesn't do that. It was a number of times that it just sits up, we could volley it, but he wants to take another touch. So I think that's kind of his problem, and I'm surprised that nobody's trying to coach him out of that, because I think that can be coached. So I think you can become an instinctive striker if somebody works with you and says, look, you're not going to get the time on the ball or in the box, just get your shot away, and I think you'll score even more goals than he does.
So you're pretty confident, Gary, for next week now after seeing that last night?
I'm really confident after seeing that. I think that I think possession wise, we both saw a lot of the game. I mean, when they went forward, we looked a bit shaky at the back. But then going forward, I think they also looked threatened by us going forward as well. And it's one of the things, if we can sit there and we can play like we did for the first, I don't know, I think the first 15, 20 minutes. I mean, when they scored, we looked a bit shook up, mm-hmm. and it was a bit touch and go for a while. But then, like say, the second half, it was a bit scrappy, but I think that suited us more than it suited them.
Was it a different performance, Jim? Obviously, it was better than the weekend for sure. Mm-hmm. But was it different in terms of stylistically? There was a lot of criticism at the weekend that Rangers went long too often, mm-hmm. and maybe that identity, I know it's a bit of a buzzword, but that was maybe missing a bit of the weekend. Did you see more in that regard last night?
I think in the second half you saw a little bit more, whether that was to do with the tactical changes for the manager, the personnel changes, or whether it was to do with Kiev getting a little bit tired, and allowing Rangers into the game, and maybe then settling as a game wore on, maybe settling for that 1-0 lead and thinking that would take that to Hampden. I'm not sure, but either way, Rangers definitely were more positive. They don't have a huge number of options just now. I mean, again, I'm going over old ground, but I feel that Rangers need a defensive-minded midfielder, or someone who that is their job. Their job is to break the play up when they're attacking in terms of counter-attack. So for me, I think that they need that. I don't think Conor Barron and Diamondi are the answer in that role. I think either one of them could play alongside that type of player. And you could flip them when required, whether it's domestically or in European football, if the run continues. But I think that, and that helps the defenders as well, protects the defenders. And I've said this many times, and again, if you look right throughout Europe, all of the top teams have a player who, you know, breaks a play up and, you know, will take one for the team at times and things like that. So I think that's something that Rangers need. But in terms of, you know, the style of play, yeah, there was definitely, they looked a little bit better balanced once the substitutes were made. Yefty and Czerny, I think, gave them a little bit more attacking prowess, and they seemed a little bit better, as I say, in terms of how they controlled the game after that.
Thank you, Gary. Pleasure to have you on tonight, sharing your thoughts. Have a good evening. And if anyone else wants to join in, it's a good time to do so. On the teaser, we're looking for the seven Celtic players since 2004 who've scored against Barcelona in the Champions League. You've got Tony Watt and John Hartson so far. You can see Matthew has thrown a few answers at us here.
I've got a couple. Alan Thompson?
No, he was
Wanyama
Cup before that. Yep, Wanyama.
Nakamura?
Nope.
James Forrest?
There's someone who's done it twice. It's not James Forrest. He did it in the 13-14 season and the 12-13 season.
I'm thinking, you lose track of where you're very good at Hessling.
Yes, he's one. You've got three to get, and we will hopefully get them next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and Jim Duffy and Cammy Bell are teaming up to answer Craig in Moody's Burns' question. He emailed it in fulltime@clyde1.com. That is the aim of the game here, where you send the question, we try and see if the pundits are smart enough to come up with the answers. Can you name seven Celtic players since 2004 who've scored against Barcelona in the Champions League? You've got Tony Watt and Victor Wanyama from the same season. Going back a bit further, Jan Venegor of Hesselink and John Hartson. Did you get any during the break?
Yes, I got one. Georgios Samaras.
Yes, well done. Twice, incidentally.
And the obvious one, when he's not doing children's parties and keeping everyone happy, is Chris Sutton.
Chris Sutton. And the last one you've got is from the 08-09 season. Don't mind giving you that clue. I don't think it will necessarily help, but there you are. We will leave it there for now. You've got one to get between now and the end of the show. And another reminder, fulltime@clyde1.com. If you want to submit your questions, please do. Cammy Bell, will start purely for your benefit, since you're going along on work duty tomorrow night. Big European qualifier for Kilmarnock. How are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, no, listen, I'm positive about this one. I think the last one against Cercle Bruges was always going to be a difficult tie. But then after the first leg, I was there at the first leg, and there wasn't much between the teams. I was a little bit surprised by the Belgian side's style. They were very direct, probably what Kilmarnock are used to in the Scottish League. And it was a goal away from home that they're not used to losing. A defensive mix-up, which is unheard of in Derek McInnes's side, really. So I think they're positive. They need to get players back fit. Joe Wright missed the weekend. He's a big player for them. So if they can get Mally Watkins as well, another player that missed the weekend, so if they can get these guys fit, I think they've got every chance.
Let's hear from Derek McInnes, who thinks they are capable of getting through, starting against Tromso tomorrow, but knows they need to be at the top of their game.
We're looking forward to the tie. We've worked extremely hard as a club, and the players have worked extremely hard to get this type of evening, and we're looking forward to it tomorrow. We're up against a team who have similar aspirations to get through the tie. We believe we can get through it. I'm sure Drums will be thinking the same, and it's important that we try and deliver a big performance, and a performance that we know we're capable of. I spoke to the players, we've done a video meeting on Drums with the day, because that's our job. We've got to show the players we know what we're dealing with, but I want to reinforce to the players it's what we do. At this early stage in the season, you know, the one advantage the Scandinavian teams have is they're well into their season, you know, halfway through their own campaign. We're just getting started, and we've got such a big game. I just want the players to really concentrate on us, give us our best performance individually. And if we can get anywhere near our best team performance as we showed last season, we believe it's a game we can win.
It's a familiar problem that our clubs have faced. Tromso being midway through their season, it's unavoidable. and I know people might say it's excuses, but it seems that's a genuinely difficult thing to combat, is it not?
Yeah, it is a bit, but I'm the same. I think we've got to keep, we keep throwing it out, but, you know, we've got to be better and we've got to be more prepared, and if that means bringing the players in a little bit earlier because you've got early European ties, then you've got to do that. I mean, Derek is very methodical in his preparation, as he mentioned there, doing the analysis on Tromso. They've had the two games against Circle Brugge. They had a real workout against Celtic at the weekend. So, you know, they've got to be in better shape getting into this game. So part of the reason why Tromso are at this level is because they're not one of the best teams. So I think we've got to, you know, put that aside and just, you know, try and improve our record in these early stages of European competition. And I fully expect Kilmarnock to be more than good enough to win this tie.
Before heading to the Arctic Circle, you're not getting sent over there on work duty, are you?
I hope not.
The news hasn't reached you yet. Well, we wish Kilmarnock well for sure. Stephen Robinson, St Mirren also in action. He believes his side will have to reach another level against SK Brann despite an excellent start to the domestic season at the weekend.
Well, maybe then.
We have to step up our performance from Sunday and from the Valour game as well. And it's about trying to raise your standards and levels. And what we want to do is make this more sustainable and make it happen more often. You know, the first time in 37 years. We don't want it to be another 37 years. Now it's another opportunity. I just tell the players, like, play with no fear. We've got an opportunity to go and make history. You boys can go down in history. And you can make a name for yourself both personally, put the football club on the map.
An injury blow for St Mirren, though, no Mark O'Hara. Very influential captain, obviously, as well. So something they'll have to combat.
Yeah, I mean, the squad is very strong. I mean, Stevie Robinson was out today talking about Martin Foyle, his head of recruitment, you know, waxing lyrical about him, and quite rightfully so. You know, they've brought, you know, they always seem to find players who don't cost a lot of money but fit into the way and the style and the philosophy that Stevie Robinson wants to play. They step in seamlessly. Fantastic season last year. They will miss O'Hara. He has been a real, you know, positive and influential player for St Mirren, but they've got enough in the squad and to cope with that. And again, yeah, it's another step forward and it will be a test. But, you know, St Mirren have shown that they've started the season very, very well. If they can continue that, then, you know, they can find themselves in the next round quite comfortably.
Yeah, I think making comparisons between the two is difficult because Kilmarnock had a much more difficult opponent than St Mirren did. But just even that feel good factor of having had, you know, a big night like that, a good night like that, to then follow up with such a good second half at the weekend, at least they'll have that whole confidence, momentum thing on their side for sure, and then need to get the footballing side right, of course.
Yeah, listen, momentum's massive in football. We all know that, and confidence. Once you've got that, you want another game round the corner. You want to play more football and big matches, and this is a big match. When you look at the two sides, both Norwegian sides, that Brann are probably one of the top two sides up there, whereas Tromso are further down the pecking line. I think they've had quite a poor season this season, so it's going to be a much difficult task for St Mirren to progress. But they're in such a good place. What a feeling they've got around Paisley at the moment. The fans are coming out in numbers. Just the whole atmosphere around the stadium at the moment feels so positive. And full credit to Stephen Robinson, because he's created that.
Recruitment. Every manager, you know much more than me, Jim Duffy. It's a real sort of criteria that in the eyes of the fans you need to get right. And the early stages are that St Mirren have added to that squad quite well over the summer.
Yeah, again, I mean, they've kept, you know, some of their key players from last year, which was important, but they're always adding players. And as I said, it's important when you bring players in that fits the manager. You know, each club has different styles and each manager wants a different type of player. So, you know, with Martin Foyle, who Stevie Robinson is worked with, he knows. So if he's going to look at players, he's not bringing in players and saying, have a look at this guy or try and fit him in. He knows exactly how he can fit in to the style of the manager. You know, they've lost one goal in three games at the start, you know, 1-4-1 against Valour, and then 0-0 over there, and then beating Hibs 3-0. So they've got that solid foundation in which they build from, St Mirren. But they can score goals, they play with the wing backs, get crosses in the box, they don't complicate it. And again, yeah, as Cammy said, Brann will be a much tougher test. But if they can play at the same level as they have started the season, then again, they should be confident, because the atmosphere at Paisley is going to be electric if they can make sure They play with the same style of performance.
Yes, really looking forward to those games tomorrow night. We'll do more of the build up when we return in the company of Gordon DL and Mark Wilson to team news and the build up, and hopefully good results for both. Right, you've got one more name on this teaser. Seven Celtic players since 2004 to score against Barcelona in the Champions League: Samaras, Watt, Wanyama, Venegor of Hesselink, Hartson, Sutton, and
Dembele.
Nope,
that was later, wasn't it?
Yeah, he played, but the Celtic goalless on those two.
Clue. Striker.
No, very much a midfield player who played for the likes of Aberdeen, Dundee United, Inverness, Cali Thistle, Middlesbrough.
Robson.
Barry
Robson.
Robson. And you got it. Well done. Thank you, Cammy Bell, Jim Duffy. Thank you for getting in touch tonight. If you did, whether it was a tweet, an email, picking up the phone. No, it's not always easy. We don't take it for granted. So thank you very much. And to the many, many, many of you who listened quietly or watched, of course, if you are still enjoying, if that's the right word, the YouTube stream, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Plenty more to come on there in the season ahead. So we will be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night.